lectionary reading today comes from Genesis chapter 32. This is an ancient story. It is a story that the editors kept refining and polishing for hundreds of years after it was first written down. Which is to say, this is a story of great depth and deliberative meaning. It's also a tale that is strange and profound. Listen for the word of the Lord from Genesis chapter 32, beginning with verse 22. The same night Jacob got up and took his two wives and his two maids and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jacob and Esau are brothers, twins. In fact, when they're born, Esau is born first, but Jacob grabs a hold of his brother's heel and gets pulled out as his brother comes out. Esau, it is said in the Bible, is a hairy man. He's born hairy, and he ends up working with hairy livestock. His twin brother Jacob, well, Jacob's born smooth and slick, and he's been slick his whole life. The word Jacob, the name Jacob, means heel, trickster. When they were young men, Jacob tricks his brother Esau out of his inheritance. This is a matter of property. Then later on, Jacob tricks his father into giving him his brother's blessing. He puts an animal skin on his head, and it smells like the barnyard, and his father, who's gone blind, feels the animal's skin. It's all hairy, and he smells like a barnyard, and he thinks it's Esau. So he gives him the blessing, but it is Jacob underneath. And this is a blessing that can only be given once. It can't be rescinded. And Jacob has tricked both his brother and his father out of it. Well, then Jacob decides maybe it's time to hightail it out of the country until his brother calms down a bit. So he goes and lives in another land, and he lives there, and he's not a murderer. He's not horrible. But you take a look at Jacob's life and his entire life, he ends up deceiving people to get what he wants. His life is this endless loop of deceptions. And he keeps on winning, but somehow at the same time, he also seems to lose. That's the story of Jacob's life, deception after deception. And now comes the time for the reckoning. Jacob wants to return home to go back to the promised land. Surely his brother couldn't be angry after 20 years, could he? I mean, you and I don't know anybody that would hold a grudge for 20 years, right? He approaches the river Jabbok. It's the stream that's the boundary line for the promised land. And Jacob hears a rumor that Esau, his brother, is coming to greet him with 400 men. It doesn't sound good. Jacob has to decide, well, who will go first? And so first he sends all of his livestock. His livestock go out there to greet his angry brother. Maybe that will placate Esau, a gift, an offering, maybe a bribe. It was a nice try. Next in line to meet angry Esau, true to form, the trickster Jacob sends his least favorite wife. Now, you know how that goes, your least favorite wife and your most, yes. He sends his least favorite wife, his least favorite children. They're going to do therapy for years after that. He sends the dispensable ones. And the others, they're not safe either, because after the first ones go, then Jacob sends his favorite wife, the good wife and the good kids. And the only one left behind is Jacob, alone on the far side of the riverbank, outside of the promised land, trembling in the shadows, scared out of his wits. What will happen on the next day? But then, sitting there in the dark, out of the dark, a stranger comes. There's no campfire, no street lights, but all of a sudden, without warning, without provocation, the mysterious stranger comes at him in the dark, without a word, attacks him, and a wrestling match begins. They wrestle all night long. Who is this stranger? Now, some folks that would want to do some Freudian therapy say, well, he was really wrestling with himself. Some people think, well, maybe Esau snuck up in the dark. Some people say, well, they had demons in this time, and then maybe he's wrestling with a demon in the dark. Almost every artistic rendering that's ever been done of this has a picture of Jacob wrestling with an antagonist who looks like an angel. The story doesn't say angel, but it is something out of the ordinary that is happening here. All those hours wrestling in the dark, and the battle ends up in a draw, indecisive. Dawn is just about to break. The mysterious stranger does not want to be seen. So to short-circuit the battle, the stranger lands a crippling blow on Jacob's hip. But even crippled, Jacob, he holds on like a pit bull. He refuses to release the stranger. Terribly wounded, he still keeps holding on. And finally, the stranger speaks and says, "Let me go." And Jacob says, "I will not unless you bless me." Now, that's a strange thing to say, isn't it? I won't let you go from this wrestling match unless you bless me. We've heard about a blessing before. That's right. It was when his father was tricked into giving Jacob the blessing. He ended up with this illegitimate blessing, the one that broke him from his family, from his father, from his brother, a blessing he did not deserve. And this time, at the end of this wrestling match, he's asking for a blessing through his willingness to hold on, through his continued striving. And the stranger says, "What is your name?" And he says, "Jacob." And you have to remember that names in this time had meanings. It was about your identity. It was about your character. Your character was revealed in your name. So to be given a name is to be given a destiny. And his destiny as a heel was to always be a trickster, a cheat, a swindler, a jerk. When he says, "Give me a blessing," you just hear his deep yearning. Maybe his life could be different with an authentic blessing. The mysterious stranger says he will give him the blessing. And in the blessing, he gives him a new name, which is to say a new identity, a new beginning. It used to be defined by your used camel salesman ways, Jacob. But now you are one who wrestles differently. You wrestle with important issues. You wrestle with other human beings. You wrestle with God. And so he's given the name Israel. Israel, one who has wrestled with God and human beings and prevailed. And we don't know exactly what happened, but somehow in that wrestling match, something irreversible has happened. Something of the power of God has been given to him. The power of God, which is compassion and love. And maybe, just maybe, with this new identity, he won't have to be at odds with his brother for the rest of his life. They had broken their relationship years ago. And now, after this wrestling match, can there be a new beginning? He doesn't deserve it, but he's given this new name, this new identity in this act of grace. And he's wounded. You notice then when he walks away, he's limping. Not just because of the physical hurt, but because he's learned to walk a new way, to walk into a new life in a new character. Maybe he will no longer be the same shrewd, manipulative, conniving person he's been. We don't know, but then the dawn breaks. He crosses the river. His brother Esau is on the horizon with the 400 men. His brother Esau, who could have harbored a grudge and killed him, Instead, Esau does what a dignified man would not do, but Esau does. He runs to his brother and throws his arms around him and says, oh, I'm sorry, and he weeps for joy because, as he says, he has found his brother again. And his brother, now Israel, looks at Esau and he says, To see your face is like seeing the face of God. He reflects on his wrestling match in the dark, and he realizes the one who he had been wrestling with, the mysterious stranger, really what he had been doing had been wrestling with God, and that God had transformed him in that wrestling match and given him a new beginning, a new identity. So what does this strange story say to us? What meaning does it have for you and me? I think there are times when each and every one of us face the greatest challenges in our life, when things are going badly, when we are in the dark and we can't figure out what is going on. Maybe, just maybe, in those times in the dark, God is wrestling with us to help us learn about who we are, and wrestling, waiting to give us a blessing if we will hold on through the night, confronting us with who we've been. Because who we've been has been this endless loop where we keep on coming up with the same answers, the same struggles. Even if we win, we lose, and it just keeps happening again and again. But God wrestles with us in the darkness, this story says, because only an assault from God can change us and give us that new beginning, a new identity. God is willing if we hold on in the struggle, which is to say to us, there's some times when what we really need to do in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of the darkness, is to grab onto God and ask for a blessing. Ask for a new beginning. Ask for a new destiny. We have that power. We have that permission because his name was Israel, but who are we? But we are the new Israel. That's our identity as people of faith. We're the new Israel. We're the people who wrestle with God. Because God will hold on to us, and God will bless us, and God will give us new beginning. And as the story says, that Israel wrestles with God and with human beings. We wrestle with human beings. Our lives have challenges. We know that. But sometimes we run away from the challenge. Sometimes we think that nothing good can happen. Sometimes we think that it's all lost. I love being a Presbyterian. Because Presbyterians, I think, claim that identity of grappling with the difficult issues of our day and age. And it doesn't happen overnight that things disappear. We may be wrestling for a long time, but what we have experienced is God can give us a new day and a new beginning. God can give us a new identity if we but hold on and trust in him to give that blessing. I have a friend, a colleague, Howard, Presbyterian pastor. Howard's about 6'5", and incredibly gentle and peaceful. Howard, a number of years ago, went on a mission trip to a poor community. I'm not sure that we used to do that quite as well as maybe we hopefully do it now. Maybe we've learned some things. Those days when you were trying to help out the little people. And they were going to go paint houses. And when they arrived, there was a fellow there who really was about Howard's size. And just a couple hours after they had arrived, this leader of this other community said, Howard, let's wrestle. And Howard, being a dignified Presbyterian minister, very into peacemaking, said, no, that would send the wrong symbolic meaning. And he thought he would teach this fellow to be peaceful. So it went on the next day, and the guy kind of jostled Howard a little bit and said, Howard, let's wrestle. Howard again, he thought he had a lot to teach this fellow about being peaceful. And then he said no. And then the next day, Howard's up painting the house. He's up tall on the ladder, painting the eaves on the high point of the house. And the fellow comes along and grabs a hold of the ladder and gives it a shake and says, Howard, let's wrestle. And Howard says, no, please don't do that again. And he shakes the ladder again and says, "Howard, let's wrestle." And Howard says, "No, now cut it out. It's scary up here." And the man takes the ladder and gives it a big shake and says, "Howard, let's wrestle." And Howard came down and they wrestled for a long time. And Howard said, "And after we wrestled, then we became friends." I love that story because, you know, here's Jacob becoming Israel because he wrestled with God all night. Sometimes I think our faith is way too passive. We think God's going to make everything easy for us. And that's not the way it works. Sometimes we have challenges with God, and we need to be willing to grapple with God and to be challenged by God. And I think there's times in our lives when we need to take the challenges in our lives and not be passive about them. Because in the midst of the struggles that we have, somehow God teaches us and can even bring us to a new identity, which is to say, God can give us a new beginning. But as this story says, you have to hold on to God in the midst of the darkness. You have to hold on to this challenge and let God transform you. Because only in the midst and through the struggle does God give the blessing and the new beginning. How does that wonderful hymn put it? "Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy light. Lay hold of life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally." May we fight the good fight and let Christ give us a new beginning. Amen.